This morning we're going to be in John 17. We're breaking a little bit from Matthew for a while. And so this morning we're going to be in John 17. So if you want to open your Bibles to that, I'm going to read that for us right now. So let's look at John 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. And I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for the ability for us to read and understand your word. We praise you that the Holy Spirit guides us and helps us to know the things that you have written. We pray this morning that as we open your word and we read about how you prayed for us, that we also would pray for one another in the same manner. We ask that you would guide us and show us this through your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Thursday, if you don't remember, was the National Day of Prayer, and we all signed up and we prayed throughout the day at the same time that other believers around the world were doing the same thing. And we were all praying together about what we felt was important in the world, for the nation, for the cities, for the leaders. Today is Prayer Sunday. So we thought we would examine prayer for a little bit this morning. We titled this, What Should We Pray For? And I don't want you to think that when you leave, this is the only thing you're allowed to pray for, because that's kind of silly. But rather, I was looking at John 17 and thinking, what did Jesus pray for? What was he concerned about on this night that he was betrayed? On the last night he was going to spend with his disciples, what was it that was on his heart? And so we thought we would look at John 17 and take from it what Jesus prayed for, and then we would be able to emulate that. So I thought of this question this week: what is the purpose of man? What are we here for? There you go. This man has read. In the Westminster Confession, in the larger catechism, it states, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. Isn't that great? That's your purpose. Everyone says, what am I supposed to do in life? There it is. Glorify God and enjoy him fully. It's so easy, but so hard to do sometimes. So how do we do that? What does it look like in our lives when we're living? So Jesus is praying here in chapter 17 of John. It's called the high priestly prayer because Jesus is the high priest. So when he's praying, it's a high priestly prayer. Make sense? So Jesus prayed all the time. So what makes this prayer unique? What is it that caused John to write down this prayer? And I think it's because this was the last night that Jesus was with his disciples. He's leaving them. He knows this. They don't really quite grasp this yet. But he knows what's happening. And so he's concerned for them. And so he stops and he prays for his disciples. But he also prays for everyone else. We're going to see as we go through this. And this is the prayer that he gave. And it's not really clear. Did he pray this in the upper room? Did he pray this on the way to the garden? But to me, it doesn't sound like this is the prayer you would pray while you're walking along to the garden. It seems to me this is the prayer he had while he was together with them in the upper room, because they were all there together. He not only wanted God to hear this prayer, but he wanted his disciples to hear this prayer. He wanted them to know what was important to him. And so looking at verses 9 through 13, I'm going to reread them, and I think it's important, so just listen to what he says. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them, your name. I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them and not lost one of them except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may be fulfilled in them. Jesus says here, he is glorified in us. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, and when we obey his commandments, we glorify Jesus. We bring glory and honor to our Father. That's not just idea of Jesus praying for his disciples either. He's praying about all of us. When any of us accept him, when we become his child and we obey his commandments, we glorify him. We bring glory and honor to him. And Jesus goes on and he says, I want them to be united just as he and the Father are united as one. He wants us to be united as one as well. And I got to tell you, I was thinking about this. This doesn't mean that we kind of like the same kind of things, okay? It doesn't mean that we all wear the same jersey when we hang out, okay? This means that we want what God wants. And we will do whatever he calls us to do to fulfill his will. That's powerful. That's challenging, isn't it? If you want to be one with Jesus, you need to want what Jesus wants. You need to do what Jesus does. In John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, Jesus says that we show God's love when we obey his commandments. When we love one another the way he loves us, then we will be filled with his joy. So if we want to do the things that Jesus is calling us to do, we need to look at what he calls us to do and do that. And Jesus asked these things which he has just spoken about and which we have just talked about, that they would be true in each one of us. This is what he's praying for, that we would have his joy fulfilled in us. If we love him as he loved us, then we should want to obey God just as he obeyed him. Have you ever noticed throughout the scriptures, Jesus says, I came to do the will of my Father. I didn't come to do what I want to do. I didn't come to do what I think would be a really good thing. He says, I came to do the will of my Father. If we're going to be like Jesus, then it should be our desire to do the will of the Father, to do what he wants done. That should be our primary motivator, that we will do the will of the Father just as Jesus did the will of the Father. And then we will glorify God and be filled with Jesus' joy. We will be in them, and they will be in us. This is the first thing that we find in this scripture where Jesus is praying for the disciples. He's praying for us. And this is the prayer that he has. So this being Prayer Sunday, we're going to pray. Hey, what a great idea. So we're going to take about 5 minutes right now. Just stay where you are and just bow your head and be in prayer for the next few minutes. And I want you to pray silently, but I want you to pray about this. Pray that we as Jesus' church would seek to be obedient to God so that we would glorify him, that we would love one another as he loved us, and that we would become one with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit just as they are one, so that we will bring glory to God and enjoy the joy that he gives to us. At the end of about 5 minutes, I'm going to have Don close us in prayer. But let's all just go to God for a few minutes right now and just focus on that we would be obedient to him and bring glory to him. Amen. So the first thing that we see that Jesus is praying for us is that we would do his will and glorify him and then share in his joy. And then as we go further, we see in verses 14 to 16, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we see Jesus loves us. He wants us to be guarded just as he guarded his disciples when he was with them. He doesn't want us to stumble or fall, yet he does not ask to have us taken out of the world, but rather that we be kept from the evil one. And this is a common question that we may be asked, or we may have even asked yourself. Why doesn't God just remove all evil? Well, you know what the answer is? He will. When Christ comes again at the end of the age, all evil will be removed. Satan and all those who follow him will be banished to hell. No longer will they be able to disrupt the will of God amongst his people. So that day is coming. But until that day, we must live in the sinful world that we have. And yet Jesus is concerned about our well-being. He's not so concerned about our physical well-being. He's concerned about our spiritual well-being. And he prayed that we would be kept from the evil one, not separated or isolated, but that we would be guarded. In Ephesians 6:16, Paul calls our temptations the flaming darts of Satan. And Jesus is concerned for us, and he wants to be able for us to be able to withstand those temptations. He's asking God that we be strengthened to withstand them by God, just as God strengthened Jesus when he was tempted. Jesus is asking God that we be strengthened when we are tempted. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's what Jesus is praying about. Not that we be taken away from the world, but that we be strengthened in order to live in the world and do his will, to be successful in serving him. This is not a way out for us. This is recognition that God gives us the strength to do the things he's called us to do. We should be praying for the same things in our lives. I know there are a lot of times when you're praying, you're going, God, just take this trial away. Just get rid of it. That's not what Jesus prayed. And it's not what we should be praying. Instead, we should be praying, God, guide me through this trial. Strengthen me. Help me. I need you to be with me. Because that's what Jesus wants for us, and that's what God wants for us. That's what we should be praying for in these things. Not to have the temptation removed, but to have the strength to turn away from it and reject it, just like King Jesus did. We're going to have another time of prayer here. And I want you to ask God to give you the strength to reject and turn away from these temptations. And pray for your brothers and sisters that they too would have the ability, the strength from God to reject the temptation, to turn away from the temptation, to defeat the evil one in his own game, He's a liar and a thief, and we don't want to have anything to do with that. So pray that God gives you the strength to reject that from him so that you too can be strong as Jesus was strong and stand in the time of temptation. So we're going to take about 5 minutes and have some prayer. And John, if you'll close us when we get to that, I would appreciate it. Let's pray. Amen. Our last section today is from beginning at verse 17, and Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me." Now, sanctify is one of those kind of churchy words, but it describes our ongoing growth and maturity in God. It is not a one-time event, but a daily process that we go through. Jesus says we are sanctified through truth. What is truth? It is the Word. What is the Word? It is Jesus. Therefore, we are sanctified through Jesus. Now, how many of you said to your parents when you were growing up that I will never use any of that math stuff in my life? Okay? I'm here to tell you that you have just seen the commutative property of math at work. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. If we are made righteous through the truth, and the Word is the truth, and Jesus is the Word, then we are made righteous through Jesus. So you've just used your math. Go home today, call your mother, and apologize to her. Okay? We are maturing and growing in God through Jesus with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. When we read and we study and we meditate upon God's Word, then we become more like what the Word teaches us to be. Of course, this doesn't happen once. It happens all the time. Every time you're in the Word, it's happening. And so sanctification is something that happens throughout our life. It is the maturing process that we go through in life. Sometimes you get it right away. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes you read something and you go, ah, that's it. Other times you read it and you got to go back and reread it. And you got to go ask somebody and you got to think about it. And then it clicks. But either way, fast or slow, it is that process of maturing in God's Word, and it's something that happens each and every day. But Jesus wasn't just asking this for his disciples in 33 AD. He says he wants it for all those who believe through the disciples' words of teaching. That means he wants it for everyone who reads the scripture that the disciples wrote. Who is that? That's us. That means, think about this, that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed in Gethsemane, was praying not just for his disciples, but for you and for me. He was praying for all of us who come after them, who learn from the word that they taught, that they were given by God, that they wrote down, that we now read every Sunday. He was praying that we would grow in that, that we would be sanctified in that, that we would encourage and mature in our walk with Him through the reading and study of His Word. And Jesus wanted us to be united with Him so that the world would believe that God sent Him. Something else. He says, so that the world will know that you love them as much as you love me. Isn't that amazing? God's love is not different for Jesus than it is for you. It is not greater for Jesus than it is for you. God doesn't love in measure. God fully loves. Therefore, Jesus was praying so that you would know that God loves you as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus. How awesome is that? That God loves you like you were His own child. Isn't that wonderful? God loves you that much. That all of us together in the church body and in the world would be able to show to the rest of the world that God sent Jesus. That as they see us love each other, as they see us live out God's will, that the world will know that Jesus was sent by God. He is not just a nice guy who said some good things. He's not even a great teacher, even though He is a great teacher. He is the Son of God sent by Him to come into the world, to free the world from its sin. And when we obey Jesus, when we show His love to each other, when we reject the evil one, when we do the things that He calls us to do, then we show the world who He is and that He came at the demand or command of God, that God sent Him here for this purpose. And so Jesus is praying that we will mature into this, that we will become those people who will go into the world and show them that Jesus was sent by God. We should be praying for each other, that we do that every day. That should be critical in our hearts, because that's what Christ wants for us to be doing. We're going to spend these last few minutes of prayer time going before God and asking Him to help us to continue to be sanctified, to grow and mature in Him. Ask Him to continue to teach you and help you to grow in Jesus. Ask Him to do the same thing for the other believers in this congregation and in other congregations around the world. Remember that the purpose of sanctification isn't so that you can become big and strong, but so that you are better able to love each other, to stand against the evil one, to grow and mature, and to show the world that King Jesus is who the Creator of the universe is, and that in this way will bring glory and honor to Him and will show the world His love. Let's pray for that for a few minutes. that we can come into your presence, that we can come before you and bring to you the concerns, the needs, the wants, the desires. And we come in thankfulness because you are our Father. You love us, and you want what's best for us. You want us to be able to be united as one. You want us to stand against the evil one and his flaming darts. You want us to grow and mature in you, that we might become one who will go into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ, that the world might know and understand that Jesus was sent by you, and that he will come again to collect his people. Father, I pray that you will walk with us, that you will give us strength, that you will give us encouragement, that the Holy Spirit will help us to know which way to go, what to do, when to do it. But Father, I pray also that we will read your word, that we will study it, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us to know what it says. And that as we grow and mature and become the people you've called us to be, that we will become glorification to you. That the world will see you and praise your name. Father, I pray that you will walk with us every day. That you will not allow us to be afraid. That you will make us bold. That we will stand up and say we belong to him. And even though the world may hate us, because we call on your name, Father, make us strong to say it doesn't matter. We choose to serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you'll go with us and walk with us throughout this week. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all the glory and honor goes to him. Amen.